This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome to the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church. My name is Mark Vance, and I have the privilege of welcoming to the Equip Podcast, Carly Krause. Carly, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Carly, some people who are listening to the podcast, they may not know who you are, and that is their loss. So today, they get to become a little acquainted. But before we dive any further in, I want you to explain a little bit. You work on staff here at Cornerstone. Kind of explain some of your job, what you do, you know, some how you got there. So let's start with that, okay?
Yeah. So like Mark said, I'm Carly. I started staff here in November. You might know me from the kids team. I also do kids scheduling for Sunday mornings. And then I'm also the public schools coordinator for City Ministries. And it's been super great. It's been about 6 months and I've loved everything about it. Before I started here, I was working at a homeless shelter here in Ames for about a year and a half as a case manager. And it was super great experience right out of college. So yeah, this has been a fun change up for that.
Well, Carly, you are one of the most joy-filled, wonderful people. And so I'm sure if anyone has a chance to interact with you, they have had a delightful experience and come away being full of joy. Really glad that you're on the team. And part of, honest to goodness, part of the reason why we hired you was you were so happy. Like, we thought we want someone who walks into the public schools in Story County, in Ames, throughout our community, representing our church, who just walks in and says, "We love you and we want to help you." And people would look at them and think, "Man, that is a really nice, happy person that wants to help me. That is awesome." And so I love just your joy in how you go about what you do. And so you mentioned you work as a liaison kind of to the public schools around us. So kind of explain a little bit about what you do for your job. Like, what does that look like? What are some of the responsibilities there?
Yeah. So we are still kind of fine tuning it, but so I'm the public schools coordinator. So with that, we have some liaisons in place at about 20 different schools around our surrounding areas. And I just help oversee them and just make sure that schools have what they need. So some of the big things that I've done to kind of get this started is I've met with majority of all the school's principals just to let them know of this new amazing position that we have of like, hey, we have money and we also have support. Let's figure out how we can help you succeed in your school year. So I've just coordinated with those liaisons and figuring out how to fill those needs.
That's awesome. Yeah. So the liaison position, some people might listen to that. Is that something where it's a mom or a dad, somebody volunteering in that particular school district? Like, give me an example of someone who is a liaison and kind of how they work connecting to a school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're parents with kids in that specific school. So I'm just thinking of a lot of elementary schools right now. But they just meet with the principal, or whoever the contact person is twice a month. And they have kids that attend that school. So they can kind of be we've called them the needs detective. So they can figure out a better insight of what the needs are.
I love that. A needs detective. We are on the lookout for needs and we want to provide resources to meet those, whether those are financial, volunteer resources. So we've been doing a ton of work. And part of the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is just sometimes some of this that is happening, people have no idea is happening behind the scenes. I get kind of a firsthand look at it and I see and I go, wow, this is an awesome job that Carly's been doing. And so what are some of the things we've been able to do as a church as we look out blessing the public schools, whether it's financial, otherwise? I mean, really our overflow offering at Cornerstone and the budget that comes from that enables us to do so much of this. And so I want people to get a sense of what we're able to do through their generosity. So what's some of the stuff we've done, Carly?
Yeah. I think probably one of the most exciting things that we've gotten to do is so when I first started, I met up with a bunch of schools and I gave initial gifts. And those were for every single person that works in the school. So from the principal to the food staff to janitors. And we gave them all $20 gift cards and a really nice stainless steel water bottle just to like help them feel like, hey, we see you. Here's a gift of appreciation. So that was really exciting. We've paid for instruments for students that haven't been able to afford them. We can do school uniforms if they can't get those. We've helped with car troubles for parents that need to get their kids to school, but they aren't able to. A lot of snacks and a lot of teacher appreciation things. Principals love this new way to be able to love on their staff. So yeah, there's been a lot of financial needs that we've met this year, like just between fun and like things to let people live their lives in a healthy manner. So that's been really awesome. Cool. Yeah.
It's cool to see too. I mean, this is a simple way for us to come alongside a principal sometimes and say, there's no strings attached to this. We don't walk in and be like, hey, here's what we expect you to teach now. It doesn't work that way. We're just thankful that they're caring about kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those principals see the needs of their teachers and they see the needs of their students and they move out with love and compassion toward those people. And so often, I know you've found this, Carly, we find this in our city ministries team. Often what happens is the people who are the frontline workers, they really know where the needs are, but they're not as good about knowing how to get the resources because they're spending all their time working on meeting the needs. Principals would love to have the resources to, like one of the things we're doing, we're helping sponsor a retirement dinner and mm-hmm. honoring dinner for everybody who's served for a long time in the public school in our area. Well, that's an awesome thing, but the principal is busy, like literally running the school. They don't have all the time to do all those things. And to be honest, most of the time, they don't have a budget to do those things. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to come alongside and say, well, we would love to do that for you. Like dream of something you'd love to do to tell these people that we love, that they matter. And we want to come alongside and help you do that. So is that a fun job for you to do, Carly?
Oh, it's so great. Yeah. This has just been like a serious dream job for me. I mean, yeah, I love people. So this has just been really fun. I feel a little bit like Santa Claus most of the time, which is.
I love that. We're Santa Claus for public schools. Yes. That's great. I love that. So Carly, I want you to share, because you do, through the lens of the relationships you've made, the building administrators and people that we've gotten to know, you do get a little bit of a unique perspective too. You get the chance to see, you know, what are these schools like and what are the needs that are there? And so give me some of the lessons that you've learned doing this job and that you've seen as you've interacted inside of our schools, kind of in Ames and Story County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, honestly, it's kind of funny that I am in this role of partnering with public schools when I hated school so much. I was a student that did not enjoy my time there. But now being on the other end of it and seeing how important a role of a teacher is and the pivotal impact like they have on these students is so big. And I think coming out of COVID, burnout has been so high for these teachers. And the principals and the administrative staff sees that and they want to make sure that this is not just the trajectory of what the future holds for teachers. So I think it's been really sweet to be able to be on the end of, I guess, being a positive impact of making them not dread going to work every day, just like helping them feel like appreciated for the hard work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool. And it's been really great to see how much the administrative staff does care for their school. So that's probably been one of the greatest things to see.
Talk to me a little about, Carly, what you see in some of the needs we've met have been kids and families who are in the school. Mm-hmm. And so as you're there, you also were getting to see through the eyes of the administrators, we want to care for our teachers, but we get a window into when we talk about kids who are impacted by poverty. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've realized is the front line of where we see those kids is school. Mm-hmm. They go to school, they show up, and they don't have a lunch, or they don't have the snack to bring in, or they're not going home to a place where they feel really confident they're going to get a meal, you know? And so talk a little about some of what you've seen, even about the needs and kids and families in the community.
Yeah. So what's really neat is a lot of these schools have, they're called family student advocates. So they are the person in the school that knows who these students are and help figure out how we can get to these students to help them. So we have partnered a lot with these specific teachers or staff members in the schools. And I would say most recently, we just helped a mother and her son who's in fourth grade be able to stay in a hotel for a week while they waited for their Section 8 to kick in. And that was really sweet because you could just see it on the kid how much it was wearing on him. And he's only in fourth grade. So, I mean, without this role, it's so sad to think, like, how would that have happened if, like, this job wasn't a thing? Like, how would they have gotten the funding to do that? So I think, yeah, those that staff member is so appreciated and so needed in our schools. And I think a lot of people don't even know that that is a role. Yeah.
Wow. So are those folks that that position, kind of an advocate, Carly, is that often somebody, they're often a teacher and then they kind of do this in addition to it? Or is that like a particular, some schools have this person full time as like the social advocate for families and kids? It's what's that look like?
Yeah.
Full-time role.
Yep,
wow.
Full-time role. And they're kind of like a counselor in a way. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's just such an, it's an illustration of what we see as a macro trend. So sometimes people say, why do you get involved in public schools when sometimes they can be so anti-Christian or you don't, you know, and we're like, well, first off, I would love you to meet some people who work in the public schools, you know, first, because our experiences are very different from news headlines. I guess I'll say it that way. That's not the way we normally see the interaction happen. But the main reason that we get so involved in public schools is that public school is the front line of where needs show up. We want, particularly when we think of working for mercy, compassion, and justice at Cornerstone, our focus is, if you look at the kids who walk through the doors, they didn't do something to put themselves in that situation. They were born into this family, and that family may not have the resources to provide. There may be some abuse in their background. And so we're really trying to go to say, where are the true least of these that Jesus would want us to see? And if they show up at school, we got to go to school. That's how we meet them. And so we have loved partnering with the public schools because so much of what they do, unfortunately, when social fabrics break down, when families break down, and when things in our society break down, it shows up at school. And so these administrators are often not just trying to teach reading and writing, they're trying to help kids get food. They're trying to help people get clothes. And so I just think what we've learned has been, to be honest, really humbling about the heart of a lot of the people who work with our kids. They're champions and they're doing a great job and really, really working hard. Carly, tell me a little bit as we start to wrap up, what are ways you see that people can get involved fruitfully in the schools? As if it would be a parent or just somebody who listens to this and just thinks, I have a heart for kids, I want to help out. Give a few ideas to some people.
Yeah, they need just a lot of support in a lot of different ways. Some things that I've been hearing of the most recently are just even stepping in and on the PTA board if you have a student in the school. That is such a helpful thing to do. And I think if you have a heart for a certain school, that's how you can make change happen. And that's how you can also bless the teachers and the students. So that's an idea. And they really need help with different volunteering things for fun events. So I know a lot of the elementary schools do things like the mileage club. So they need parents to be the clicker person for the timer. Yeah, reading buddies, lunch buddies, just being a faithful presence in the school is really helpful.
One thing I'm going to add on there, that it may seem insignificant to folks, but it's pretty simple. is you should look at the job websites for school districts. That's something, Carly, we've talked about and I've seen is there's a real opportunity for people who have skills to go and work inside the school. My wife recently got her substitute teaching license. Actually, today is her first day substitute teaching. And so I'm praying to God that he gives her some wonderful children who want to learn and encourage her to come back. But it's been very eye-opening for Crystal and I, because when she got her license, everything goes through, she now has access to basically a daily list of opportunities inside of just our community. And if she wanted to work as a sub every day, all year long, I guarantee you she could do it. Mm-hmm. The needs are literally everywhere. It's just incredible. So I talked to folks who work in ESL, janitorial. Oh my goodness, they so desperately needed building janitors, you know, to help mm-hmm. out in some of these schools. And so I tell people, even college students, like if you want to get a foot in the door to teach at a school, they probably, if you just walked in and said, hey, are there any jobs here that I could help out with? I think every school I know has jobs open right now. So mm-hmm. that's another avenue you can get really involved is PTA, volunteering in the needs, and then, you know, showing up and trying to get a job. Talk to me about teachers. So if you got a kid, they're in a teacher, what's an idea or two that you have of ways that parents or people could think, I just want to be a blessing to a particular teacher who's had an impact in my kid's life. Give me a couple ideas here, Carly. We're coming to the end of the school year. You know, there's an opportunity to do that. What are some things you'd suggest?
Yeah, I think when people think of blessing, they usually think of money or like financial needs first. But really, I think a lot of these people just need words of encouragement, just like a handwritten note that lets them know specifically things that they have done that you have felt loved by or your child has felt loved by. I think that's so huge, and it can go a long way. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to start.
That's an awesome idea. I mean, because everybody thinks, oh, Starbucks gift card. But if you write, hey, thanks for this thing you did in the life of my fifth grader, mm-hmm. you probably made a teacher cry today. And that's probably pretty awesome for them, especially for a group of people that you talked about, the burnout factors that we're seeing, you mm-hmm. know, out there. Whatever we can do, stability breeds health. That's just a simple reality in school. If we have 30, 40, 50% turnover of teachers in that building, the next year in that building it's going to be a harder year because mm-hmm. they're going to have to reestablish norms and they got to figure out new rhythms. If we can build stability and we can build longevity, that's a huge thing. So we all as a community need to think that's not just the job of a district, that's the job of people who want to be a faithful presence for Christ. That's the job of Christians. And in some ways, Carly, that's like literally your job. And so I just want to say on behalf of our church to you and me to you, thanks a ton for what you're doing to mm-hmm. love people and to be just a joyful kind of Jesus-centered presence for good in the lives of kids and lives of administrators and lives of teachers in our district. I hope every time anybody in one of our schools sees Carly Krause walking toward their door, they think, I'm about ready to have my day made. This is awesome. So thanks for all you do. And Carly, thanks for being here today on the podcast too.
Thanks.